Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th Canto, Chapter 4, Text Number 26. Sa itam bhakti yogena tapo yuktena partiva swa dharmena harim prinan sarvan kaman Shanair Jaho Saittam Bhakti Yogena Tapo Yuktena Partiva Swadharmena Harim Prinan Sarvan Kaman Shanair Jaho Sait Tam bhakti yogena tapo yuktena partiva swadharmena harim prinam sarvan kaman shanair jaho. Saittam bhakti yogena tapo yuktena partiva swadharmena harim prinam sarvan kaman shanair jaho. Saittam bhakti yogena tapo yuktena partiva swadharmena harim prinam sarvan kaman shanair jaho. Saittam bhakti yogena tapo yuktena partiva Sadharmena harim prinam Sarvan kaman shanair jaho. Po yuktena partiva Sadharmena harim prinam Sarvan kaman shanair jaho. Saittam bhakti yogena tapo yuktena partiva swadharmena harim prinam sarvan kaman shanair jaho. Saittam bhakti yogena tapo yuktena partiva swadharmena harim prinam sarvan kaman shanair jaho. Wow. Saittam bhakti yogena tapo yuktena partiva swadharmena harim prinam sarvan kaman shanair jaho. Okay, ladies. Saittam bhakti yogena tapo yuktena partiva sadharmena harim prinam Sarvan Karman Sanayajaho Saittam Bhakti Yogena Tapo Yuktena Partiva Sadharmena Harim Prinan Sarvan Kaman Shanayarjaho Saittam Bhakti Yogena Tapo Yuktena Partiva Swadharmena Harim Prinan Sarvan Kaman Shanayarjaho Saittam Bhakti Yogena Tapo Yuktena Partiva Sadharmena Harim Prinan Sarvan Kaman Shanayarjaho Sa Hi Ambarish Maharaj Ittam. In this way, bhakti yogena, by performing transcendental loving service to the Lord. Tapat yuktena, which is simultaneously the best process of austerity. Partiva, the king. Swadharmena, by his constitutional activities. Harim, unto the Supreme Lord. Prinan, satisfying. Sarvan, all varieties of. Kaman, material desires. Shanai, gradually. Jaho, gave up. Translation. The king of this planet, Maharaj Ambarish, thus performed devotional service to the Lord, and in this endeavor practiced severe austerity, always satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his constitutional activities. He gradually gave up all material desires. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Severe austerities in the practice of devotional service are of many varieties. For example, in worshiping the deity in the temple, there are certainly laborious activities. Shivigraharad ananichanana shingara tanmandira marjanado. One must decorate the deity, cleanse the temple, bring water from the Ganges and Jamuna. Somebody doing that here? Yeah. At Karoli, they actually bring it, you know, for Radha Madan Mohan. It's pretty far. Yeah, by mantra. Continue the routine work, perform arti many times, prepare first-class food for the deity, prepare dresses, and so on. In this way, one must constantly be engaged in various activities, and the hard labor involved is certainly austerity. Similarly, the hard labor involved in preaching, preparing the literature, preaching to atheistic men, and distributing literature door to door is, of course, an austerity. Tapo yuktena, tapo divyam putrika. Such austerity is necessary. Yena sattvam shudayet. By such austerity and devotional service, one is purified of material existence. Kaman shanayar jaho. Indeed, such austerity leads one to the constitutional position of devotional service. In this way, one can give up material desires. And as soon as one is freed from material desires, he is free from the repetition of birth and death, old age and disease. Om Agana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajjatam Sahagana Raghana Tandritam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prastaya Bhutale, Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta, Swaminiti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvisesha, Shunyavadi, Paschacharya Satarane, Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Twishe Namaha Panchatatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Garim Tat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurundina Tarane. So I thank you for being here. It's very ecstatic to see everybody dancing so much. Like the old days, huh? This energy of the Sankirtan movement. That's also tapasya, I guess you could say, dancing, you know. Early in the morning, right? It's a nice purport. I just remember when I first came here, the first time I came here, Rukmini Dorkadish were not here. And I was very new. I saw Lord Jagannath and thought, oh, that's God, okay. You know. Those days we could be very close to the deity also. Remember the old temple room? So the next time I came in Rukmini Dorkadish, and we'd never seen Radha and Krishna before, coming from Tucson, Arizona. I think we just had a picture of Panchatattva from the Back to Godhead or something. So it's very wonderful. And they're still here being served so nicely. And then the installation of Gaur Nittai, Prabhupada was so happy. I remember it, you know, he was so happy, and when they opened the curtain, it was like he just was immediately at the altar without walking there. It just appeared there. And then he said that we want to join the party of Radha and Krishna, but in order to do that, we need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he said, if we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And then he said, to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, we need the mercy of, anybody know? Jagai and Madai, he said. That means, what does that mean? That you go out, like this purport said, you go out and preach to the atheistic people. It's tapasya. Of course, it's a labor of love. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, like a mother, it's great tapasya to take care of a baby. Many mothers, they can't sleep ever practically when they have a baby. You know, so many things, but they love it. It's a labor of love. So devotees also, there's all this labor, worshiping the deities, a lot of work. Anybody who's participating, so many things have to be done. But don't think of it as like austerity for devotees, it's not different than Krishna, so it's actually very pleasurable. You know, if you, a lot of people, they hear that word austerity or sacrifice, tapasya, they, you know, we want to enjoy. All the advertisements says how you can, even now in Vrindavan, all the advertisements for luxury. Right? Anybody been to Vrindavan lately? You see any advertisement for tapasya? No. From far away on the highway, luxury, luxury, luxury. You can, you know, all amenities, cable TV, you know, I just saw an ad for an apartment somebody selling in Vrindavan. Cable TV, you know, full-time electricity, air condition. Golf course, yeah. Fastest internet for playing games. Big signboards, you know. So it's a little confusing, but we go there for tapasya. We want to, you know, chant the holy name. And it, even that would be considered, that's tapasya, you know, to regularly chant every day. To Prabhupada said, our tapasya is not very difficult. 16 rounds every day, 4 regulated principles. But even we can't do that. We have trouble. But that's pleasure. The more we do it. And then we want this anya vilasita shunyam gana karma dinavritam. No more material desires, no interest in gana and karma, only in Krishna. And here this purport's very encouraging because it says you can just get that automatically by doing these things. You know, shingara dhanma, cleaning the temple, dressing the deity, producing books, distributing books, going out, meeting people. It's troublesome, but if you see how much trouble people are going to for sense gratification, which is available in all species of life, without so much trouble, we should be very grateful that Krishna has given us opportunity to labor for the sake of going back to Godhead. So, no material desires. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, you know, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasinghaya Namaste Tejas Tejase Avir Avir Bhava Vrajanaka Vrajadank. You know, he has very powerful nails and teeth like thunderbolts. But Karmasayan Randaya Randaya Tamo Grasa Grasa Om Swaha. Please take out these material desires that are in the heart, that are these lusty desires that are just like demons in the heart. We have to know we want, and Krishna will do that. Lord Nrisingadev can do that. He's very powerful. Killed Hiranyakasipu, the, you know, personification of all lusty desires very easily. So we have these desires in the heart, but they're Krishna will clean them out. The, you know, the, simply by hearing and chanting about Krishna, Sunvatak Sakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtan, it's pious activity in itself. And then the knots in the heart, the material desires that are in the heart, which is centered around Prabhupada said sex life, then a knot just gets harder and bigger and more tangled up. But let Krishna take care of it. Just a sort of knowledge, the chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That will cut right through. If you have a really bad knot, maybe you can't untie it, but you can just cut it. Then we can get purified by developing spiritual desires and just want to serve Krishna. Devotees like to do the deity worship. They like to go on Sankirtan. If you see our Sankirtan devotees, you know, just running out every morning. They can't hold them back. Loading books in the car and taking care of, you know, it's a lot of different things have to be done. All the way down the line from, you know, Prabhupada, what he went through to preach. We read his life story. beginning in, you know, by himself, and then getting the first books translated and then printed, and had to do everything. I was recently went to that Chippewa. Anybody ever been there? Where Prabhupada was staying? You know, it's the area that, you know, all the little roads are about this wide and so far out to get in there, and probably a little tiny room, but a very beautiful temple below. The deities are very, very beautiful. But Prabhupada manipulating around that area, going to the paper market, have to get someone to carry paper, go to the printer, you know, print a few pages at a time. And then it wasn't like, you know, with the word processor. They were putting a metal letter, each letter, you know, lining it up. And then if there's a mistake, you have to move everything by hand. You know, it's not like you just delete one word and everything adjusts, like for now. And even now it's difficult. Getting those books printed and carrying them, trying to sell them, getting them to America, making devotees, getting them to sell books, publish more books, translate the books. Tremendous amount of work, but it's that austerity is the greatest pleasure. That is the wealth of the brahmanas, is the tapasya. Not money, not property, not, you know, popularity or friends or kingdoms or anything. The wealth of the brahmanas is his tapasya. That's where he's satisfied. We don't have to stand on one leg for a year or, you know, stay underwater or whatever different kinds of tapasya people do that are just for some fame and fortune. But for Krishna, chant the holy name attentively, though. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I don't know, you know, so much what to say. I just read one book, the story of Rasikananda. Was one of the main, you know, super preachers after Lord Chaitanya, disciple of Shamananda, who was a, you know, working under Jiva Goswami. So very close. And one thing that stood out was this word festival. This, every page practically, festival, festival. And when he would, when he was getting old, he was just going back, well, I did so many festivals here and so many there, and I've, you know, I've done something, he said. And he was always organizing festivals, big ones, and going out himself, you know, collecting from all the kings and everybody to have these huge, not just, you know, big festivals. But, you know, the Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, is a constant festival. And Krishna consciousness is a constant festival. You know, Mangalartik is a festival, actually. Everything is a festival. Sankirtan, we may have Sankirtan festival, one person going out, may have, you know, if you go to Russia or something, then you can see the pictures. You know, they can't even take a picture of the whole Harinam party. It's too big, you know. If I go to Japan, if we get five or six people, it's like a huge event. But it's a festival. It's ecstatic. You know, it's a little troublesome to get it together, and somebody has to carry books, they have to print pamphlets, so many things, but it's a festival. Everything is a festival, but the more the better, because the people come to festivals, especially Rathiatra, right? Anywhere I've been in the world, Rathiatra, devotees come, nobody's ever seen them all year. They come from every different group. Everybody comes to Rathiatra. Somehow Lord Jagannath is all attractive. Like, of course, in Puri, millions of people come. So the more we can do that, the more we can organize whatever kind of, how big or small, festival. This brings more and more people, and the festivals engage everyone. And you have a big festival with lots of prasadam and lots of activities and lots of things, and it engages anyone who comes. In putting on the festival, that's also tapasya, but then so many people can come and just enjoy and get a taste. And when they get a taste for the holy name, they get a taste for the book or whatever it is. Nowadays, so many festivals, so many book distribution festivals. I was thinking, how do we can have Bhagavad Gita festivals, because so many people are buying Bhagavad Gitas now. Right? What was it last year, Savas? How many? The BBTs? Last year. Just in the United States. That doesn't come close to India or something, you know. Or many countries. Russia. Russia, after they had that, some crazy people were trying to ban the Bhagavad Gita, you know, that they sold out the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody in Russia wanted the Bhagavad Gita. They heard about it all the time when these people blaspheming it. And many devotees are selling, like this Mohanasini in New Orleans. Every weekend she sells 150 Bhagavad Gita. All kinds of people, and she puts up the, you know, what they say. They say, oh yeah, Bhagavad Gita, I heard about this in college, I've been looking for it, oh yeah, I really want to get the bona fide version, you know. Bhagavad Gita as it is, Prabhupada, you know, he explains in the introduction how people were asking, but he couldn't find one that was bona fide. He wanted to say what Krishna said. I don't know how Krishna, you know, is in the heart. Like when I guess I was still trying to go to the university, and somehow I wanted to read Bhagavad Gita, and I don't know, I can't remember why I ever heard of Bhagavad Gita even. But I decided I want to read Bhagavad Gita. I must have got some yoga book. And I went to the bookstore and I was looking at all the Bhagavad Gitas. And somehow I decided these are not good translations. So I didn't read it. Then later I realized I was very fortunate that I didn't, you know. Because then I finally got Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. Even that we had to wait, you know, when it came 73 or something. And then I heard Devamrita Swami saying he took some course, you know, Hindu course, and the Bhagavad Gita said something about God being some invention or something, and he said he threw the book against the wall and was thinking, I want to get the right version of this book, you know. Said, why would Krishna, but that's how Krishna protects, you know. Some people read all these crazy ones and they're really crazy and they get so confused and they can't understand Krishna at all. Krishna is, you know, inconceivable. And even Lord Brahma was bewildered. How could this, or Indra, you know, this small boy be this? They knew the God, they knew Vishnu, they knew, but they couldn't think it could be this little boy. Prabhupada is explaining how the scientists, you know, they study the energy, and usually only like some specific energy, and they're bewildered by that. The more they study the energy, the more they can't understand it, and the more. So when they can't understand how all that energy could come from a person, because they're persons and they know how limited they are, and they have no concept of an unlimited person. But some people are fortunate somehow or other, especially this day and age. Lord Chaitanya has caused us mercy that he somehow just gives the Maha Mantra, the holy name of Krishna, the most powerful, the most advanced, intimate association of Krishna, he gives to anyone who will take it. Right? He exposes it to anyone and everyone. That's the idea. And people are getting purified all over the world, actually, by seeing devotees singing and dancing ecstatically, by meeting devotees again and again with books, seeing our festivals, and we're seeing how it's increasing. I've seen lately, the last couple of years especially, seems to be, you know, really phenomenal increases all over the world. Mayapur. When I first went to Mayapur, you know, I couldn't believe it was real, that there was a place where there was only rice fields, you know. There was no anything else, you know, no people around. Except a day or 2 days before Gaur Purnima, quite a few people came to the temple. But now every day. This is completely mobbed, and the whole road for miles is lined with shops. And I don't know, almost 2,000 Russians live there. And Russians in 1987, the government declared they're all atheists in the whole country. But this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. If we think how much it's increased since even 1975, what to speak of 1965 when Prabhupada came to America. And that's, 50 years now. So if you, promote that another 50 years, and it's increasing more and more because there's more and more things happening, then we might understand how we take over the world. That used to be something we heard constantly, right? We're going to take over the world. When I joined, there was always devotees talking. Like, people were worried even. They would ask us, what would happen if everybody becomes a Hare Krishna? Because they think that would be the end of the world. What will people do? Because so many people work in the illicit industries, right? Almost everybody. So they think, how can the world exist? There'll be no food if you don't eat meat. There'll be no, that whole business is finished, the whole cigarette business, the whiskey business, and all that stuff. They can't imagine. And then Bud and Ryan was saying, Prabhupada told one new TV guy, asked him that, and Prabhupada said, don't worry, there'll always be stupid people like you, and they won't join. It'll never happen that everybody becomes a Hare Krishna. But it could be all right. We would just say it'll be much better, but then we kind of lost that vision. We think the world is taking us over. It's when we were in Mayapur with the GBC, we had a little exercise, a timeline, all the things that have happened since 1965 and in the movement and in the world. And, we put up a lot of things about all the, really things in the world that happen that are things are getting worse and worse. Terrible, crazy things happening. And Braja Bihari had brought one of his friends there who was a professor in the university, and he was very, very favorable, to the movement. His brother is also very favorable. And I asked him, what do you think about this? He said, well, I think this is great, but, I think you should think more about all the good things that are happening, which is true. There's a huge increase in interest in spirituality anyway, not necessarily religion, but because people are disgusted with organized religion. They don't know what it means, but we're organized, and we hope we should be. Prabhupada said we should be organized, but in order to give people real spirituality, guided, not just some concocted idea, but guided by the parampara, guided by Bhagavad Gita as it is, knowing Krishna. And Bhagavad Gita is such an amazing book that scholars all over the world, they study it and study it, and there's so many different interpretations, and they're all mixed up, but they don't become devotees. But Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, become my devotee, manmana bhava mad bhakto. And so many devotees, because of that Bhagavad Gita, all over the world, in so many languages. In some places we can hardly keep up, and in Indonesia now that people are just asking everywhere for Bhagavad Gita. Even in America, they are. And in India, when devotees first started to sell books in India, they told Prabhupada it's impossible to sell books in India. Everybody has it, right? But devotees just kept saying, no, this one is different. This is special. Look at this, it's got all the words, got Sanskrit, it's got the purport. And, by the devotees' enthusiasm, and now, it's just so many Bhagavad Gitas are being sold every day. Sometimes people buy pay for 10,000, 20,000 to give, you know, prisons or give all their employees in their factories or something. They want it. Bhagavad Gita as it is. Devotees are just, you know, everywhere. In Bombay, I get stuck in a traffic jam and suddenly devotees walking by with a big pile of books. You know. Almost every car. So this is a very, very auspicious, simple process. But the tapasya here, you know, this has gone on for so many years, keeping the deity worship going. We hope it'll be like, you know, Vrindavan temples, and 500 years from now we'll still be doing it, right? Somebody will take it up. It's very good to see the young people taking it up. You know. Raminder Sarup said one time that reporters used to come and ask us why there's only young people in your movement, right? And then he said, now they ask us why there's only old people, the same people. 40 years. Now we've got more and more young people. In some places, all young people. This is the, we want to carry on. We want to, you know, think of the future, this movement. But books are the basis. Tapasya is the basis, actually. But reading Bhagavad Gita, it's tapasya. You know, there's so many other things going on. But that tapasya, all this tapasya is great pleasure. And then according to this purport, all the material desires will be changed. You get spiritual desires, not no desire. When we say no desire, desireless, formless, that it means not material desires, not material form, not material, you know, things. Spiritual desires. Desire is natural, but that's the only thing the soul can do, actually, is the desire. So you want Krishna, you want to serve Krishna, want to be with devotees, want to go to the temple, you want to hear about Krishna. These are, you want to take prasadam, they're the spiritual desires. Taking only prasadam, you see, like, when we go on Harinam, you can really understand, at least places I go, everyone is basically on anamoya. They haven't got much beyond that. There's so many restaurants, and in Japan they all put out a big picture of all the things they have, you know, like, or sometimes they put out plastic versions of it. It looks exactly real, but the restaurant will say, we have 100 different things on the menu. We have 50 different things. All you can eat for 2 hours, free drinks, you know, just unlimited, no matter how, you know, and there's, so if you even become vegetarian, you know, immediately you limit, you know, so much where you can go to eat. But otherwise, people are just busy trying to decide where to go and when they get there, what to eat. And if it's only prasadam, then you very much simplify your life. You just know, okay, only take prasadam. Don't have to worry about all these other things. We only read Bhagavad Gita. We don't have to worry about what book to read next. Or Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, we don't need other books, Nectar, Devotion. Everything is there. But we may read commentaries that are bona fide to understand them, because we want to hear about these things from as many people as possible. Every devotee has all kinds of realizations. So we study and together, get together all the time to share these things. Okay, any comments to make it worthwhile, or any questions? There's so many very advanced devotees here that it's kind of embarrassing. But. Amala, Haribol, you want to comment? Anyone else? What's the time? Time, almost time. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai.
Jersey County. Our god sister Kota Shamani, she's going to China.
Yeah, is she here now?
Yeah, but she's leaving probably like one.
I want to talk to her.
They have almost 450 yoga students enrolled in a yoga seminar, so she's going to that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Huh?
Yeah. But her flight is at 3, so she'll probably leave.
I want to talk to her.
She's up at her place.
I want her to contact one yoga teacher there. I know.
Okay.
She's organizing Bhagavad Gita classes.
Okay, she should be home.
For sometimes 700.
Nice. She goes every year now, and she's got a whole group of people that are real close with her. She says they're great. They're really, really first class.
I shouldn't know, but I'm still going out of
So far, I didn't know the surprise.